Welcome to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. You're listening to episode number 14. I'm your host, Kurt. I'm here all by myself tonight, flying solo, hoping that Rocco and Stacy get back soon. Hurry back, guys. I miss you. In this episode tonight, I'm going to talk about the Motorola X Phone and why it scares the crap out of people, how watching a black bear gave me a revelation about Bigfoot, God, monkeys, humans, and the universe. Stay tuned for that one. It's interesting. And then a Guinness World Records TV show and how horrible that thing is. As always, you can contact us at podcast@primitiveintelligence.com. Give us your thoughts, ideas, give me something to talk about. And since it's just me and I got no one here to bounce ideas off of and no one feeding back, I'll be doing a little bit of in-studio live music for you with my acoustic with some songs I've written, so I hope you guys enjoy that. So stay tuned. Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. If you're in the Northeast right now, you know that we are in the middle of basically just getting baked to death. Right now it's 93 degrees. And we've got like 75% humidity, I think. It's like swimming outside. So if you've got to be outside and you're out in the Northeast right now, don't do what I just did and walk like a half a mile down the Turkey Hill because you were bored to go get a case of water. Take your car. You know, drink lots of fluids. Stay as cool as you can. Be safe. Have fun, but be safe. Hopefully it's going to cool down here in the next couple of days. So one of my favorite things to talk about is technology. I love technology. I'm super excited right now. I'm an Android guy. I'm a Linux guy. I like all operating systems, but, you know, for me, Windows is just too, let's say, greedy. They seem to want to force you into doing things their way, and they don't care about anybody. This is what it seems like. Apple, they like to have a tight control over their operating system and all their apps, which I understand. They're just so expensive. I've been kind of kicking around the idea of getting an Apple, like an iMac or something like that, especially for the studio, because it's great for audio, for video, and for photography. I do all three, so that would be a great idea. But Linux to me, Linux, Android, that whole open source, free software, unrestricted, you know, you can do what you want with it. It's great. I have a hard time taking myself away from that. I mean, as a matter of fact, the podcast is always recorded on Linux, on my little Linux machine here. So, and I expect that to continue for the foreseeable future at least. But I don't know. Been kicking it around. Maybe, possibly, at one of these days I might get something a little more professional. But what I'm excited about right now is the new Moto X that Google and Motorola have coming out. Now, Motorola is now owned by Google. They bought them like a year and a half ago. And they have basically let Motorola finish out any plans they had for the year and a half since the purchase. So they finished out their lineup that they were working on at that point. And now the first new Motorola phone is on its way in the next few weeks or so. And it's being called the Moto X. Now, there's a lot of speculation about the device. Google saying it's going to be a hero phone or a flagship phone. The leaked specs on it, there's nothing official other than the fact that we know that the phone's coming up. The leaked specs on the phone point to possibly a 1.7 gigahertz dual-core processor, 10-megapixel camera, I think a 4.3-inch screen, maybe a couple gigs of RAM, and like 16 or 32 gigabytes of internal storage. And as Google's been doing with their Nexus devices as of late, no SD card. Which is fine. Most of my stuff is stored on a cloud anyway, and it's a phone. So how much stuff do you really need to store in there? I know a lot of people argue that point. But all my pictures are backed up immediately through my Dropbox account and my Google Plus account. So anything like that I can always make room for easily. Music's all stored on Google, and that's pretty much it. I don't do a lot of games or movies on my phone, so I'm not really concerned about large amounts of storage. But the specs, a lot of people are, I don't know, they're very put off by these specs. Oh, they're last year specs. They're not flagship specs. You know, I use a Google Nexus. A Samsung Galaxy Nexus, which is, I guess, the third iteration of the Nexus lineup. The current one is the LG Nexus 4. And the specs on the Nexus 4 really aren't that different than the Galaxy Nexus. You know, a little bit better, not hugely different. And honestly, my Galaxy Nexus runs just fine for me. I like the idea of having a phone that's assembled in the U.S. Now, obviously, the components are made overseas. A lot of the components are. I mean, you're going to find that in a global economy. Even your car, you know, it says made in the United States. Most of the components are assembled or manufactured out of the country. So you're not really going to find anything that's really made completely in the United States anymore, unfortunately. But yeah, I like the idea of having a phone that's assembled, designed and assembled in the United States. Even the iPhone doesn't do that. Now that they're rumored to start moving their manufacturing back into the United States. But, you know, that's yet to be seen. But Google's doing it now. They've got a plant in, I think it's an old Nokia plant in Texas somewhere. They're going to bring a lot of jobs in. I'm excited for the device for reasons that a lot of people are afraid of the device. Google has said they will be, they'll be launching with the newest version of Android, which is going to be 4.3 Jelly Bean. It'll be an incremental upgrade to the 4.2 Jelly Bean that's out there right now, that's on the Nexus devices and some of the newer phones out there. But what the Moto X is going to do, and if I didn't mention this before, the Moto X is the name of the phone. The Moto X is going to be, what they're saying, conceptually aware. So it's got a lot of people freaked out, especially with what's going on with the NSA and things like that, where, you know, they're pulling personal information and, you know, that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm in that group of people who isn't concerned enough about that. But to me, I think that if you believe that that stuff has just started happening within the past few years, you really need to wake up. I think that if anybody's really wanted to be spying or listening in or collecting data on you, it's been happening for a long, long time. So don't act shocked now because the facts are out there. It's been happening for a while. That's my personal belief. I could be completely wrong. So the Nexus is going to be conceptually aware. And basically what it's doing is just using it's not like there's any new sensors in it that are, you know, doing anything special. It's got all its normal sensors that your smartphone's going to have. So it's going to know if you're in a car and you're moving at 60 miles an hour, you're going to have to interact with it slightly differently so that you're not driving and texting, for instance. Now, how it's going to know the difference between someone who's driving and a passenger, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, that's one of the things that we always bitch about on the show, is that people, I mean, I just walked down to Turkey Hill and I saw one car run a stop sign. Driver was on the phone texting. Another guy almost hit a dog that was crossing the road because he was on the phone. I saw three or four people in just a few blocks that were driving on the phone or texting and almost had accidents. And I've seen it's getting worse. So hopefully this is something that this phone does well and they incorporate this into more devices. Hopefully Apple jumps in and Windows jumps in and they come up with a way to help alleviate this problem, because, man, it's bad. I drive a lot for my job and I see a lot of almost accidents, or, you know, accidents have happened because people are texting and driving and not paying attention, or talking and driving, you know, with the phone up to their ear. Get a Bluetooth, get a hands-free device. So hopefully this some of these functionalities will actually help alleviate that problem. The phone's going to know if you take it out of your pocket. You know, you might be taking it out of your pocket to take a picture. That's one of the things you might be taking out of your pocket for, right? If it's not ringing, it's going to have the camera app ready to go. So if you go to open a camera, it's going to be quicker. Not open, but it's going to be ready to go. It's going to be firing it up. So that kind of stuff is pretty cool. And then on a video that I saw of it, and I'll try to post that if it's still available. It's a leaked video from a Canadian telephone provider called Rogers. They have a video out there of the Moto X. And one of the cool things is the lady's got it on the counter next to her while she's on the computer, and she just kind of says, okay, Google, now, you know, look for this. And without touching the phone, it was listening, recognized her voice, and just did the search. So it's kind of cool. So those things like that where it's listening and it's paying attention are pretty cool. Could somebody be using that to spy on you? Sure, I guess they could, you know. But honestly, you know, they could just be standing next to you and hear you say stuff too. They can pick up information from anywhere. So I don't know, if it's going to be out there, you might as well get some use out of it instead of letting, you know, all the spies and all that stuff get it. So yeah, I'm excited for that. Tired of being lied to,
So tired of being wrong, tired of being the bad guy. Shine through my window, don't let me close my eyes. And when I draw the shade low, I'm bothered by the cold. Can't shake this achy feeling, runs through my body deep. And when I'm able, I try to get some sleep. I'm tired of being lied to, so tired of being. So tired of being the bad guy, yeah, yeah. A light shines through my window, won't let me close my eyes. When I draw the shade low, I'm bothered by the cold. Can't shake this achy feeling, runs through my body deep. And when I'm able, I try to get some sleep. I'm tired of being lied to, so tired of being wrong. I'm tired of being the bad guy, when it was you all along. When it was you all along. When it was you all along.
So a couple weeks ago, I know I told you guys the story about the guy who approached me while I was working and told me the story about the light he saw come down on the mountain, and that he met Bigfoot the next night when he camped out in that area up behind the Toys R Us here in Scranton. So as luck would have it, a couple weeks ago, well, maybe a week and a half ago, I had a job for a customer who lived right up behind the Toys R Us here in Scranton, right in the same area where this guy had his Bigfoot. You can't see the air quotes, but the Bigfoot encounter. And asked the customer if they had ever seen Bigfoot there, and of course they have not. They got a good laugh out of the story I told them. But it just so happened that a couple days later, I was out for a hike. Now, here in Scranton, we have what's called the Lackawanna Heritage Trail. It runs along the Lackawanna River. It's not just in Scranton. It's through all the areas up here. And it's old railroad tracks that run along the river. They're converting into hiking trails. It's very cool. And this section of the trail, I've hiked before they really called it the Lackawanna Heritage Trail. And it goes between Blakely, Peckville, it's the same town, two different names depending on what section you're in, and Archbald. And I was down on the very, well, I guess up on the very northern end, up in Archbald. And there's a little pond there, and I'm watching some turtles. I'm trying to get some pictures of them. I got my camera with me. And I turn, I start walking back down the trail, and right around the corner, I see a black bear cross in front of me on the trail. And he was, his butt was probably 2.5 to 3 feet high. So he wasn't a very monstrous black bear, but he was big enough. So he walked into the woods. I think I got my camera on me. I got to try to get a picture of him. So I don't run, but I quickly walk right down to where I see him. And I turn and I'm looking, and he could not have gone that far. Gone, vanished, nowhere around. I stood there for probably 15 minutes looking for this black bear, and I could not see anything. There was enough underbrush. They're actually very stealthy for a big animal. They're very, very stealthy. And as I'm sitting and I'm watching, I'm thinking to myself, this is a very good point to make to people when they talk about Bigfoot. Now, I've made this discussion before. I've made this argument before that, you know, everybody says, well, if there was these creatures out there, we would be finding remains and bones and things like that. But the reality of it is, if you go out in the woods and you just go looking for a bear carcass or a bear skeleton, you're probably not going to find one. And we know that bears are out there. We know they're there. We know they are there. We see them all the time. Try to find one in the woods. We know they're out there. It's just hard to find. So if there's a population of giant apes that we're calling Bigfoot, we would have a hard time finding remnants of them, especially if they're intelligent, as stories portray them to be. They may bury their dead. They may do something, some kind of burial ritual or something like that, where we just never find the body anyway. So you hear these stories all the time where they say, well, Bigfoot just disappeared. I saw him and then he was gone. and I couldn't see him. And I just had the same thing happen with a bear, and I knew it was there. So just something to think about. Next time you hear a Bigfoot story and a person says it just vanished, maybe it didn't just vanish. They're just really good at hiding. Very quiet. I don't know. It was interesting. It gave me a different point of view on it. And I guess if I didn't just recently have that encounter with a strange man on the street with the Bigfoot story, and having just gone to the area where he told me Bigfoot was, I wouldn't have been thinking about it. But it did give me an interesting point of view on it that kind of already coincides with my current point of view that we don't find the remnants of anything usually anyway. Yeah, sometimes you find a dead bird or dead mouse laying around. But things, nature has a way of recycling things so quickly that unless we walked upon a Bigfoot that had just died, we probably would never see any leftovers, a body or anything. There's a video out there somewhere of a deer or something that died, and they put a camera on it, see how long the carcass would stay there, and it was gone within 24 hours. You know, something to think about. So I guess that covers our paranormal section for the show this week.
Tossing pennies in a well, wishing for what we do not have. Throwing rocks back up at God, he won't listen to us now. We're alone, we're in this room. I sit and look right back at you. It's a long way from my home. I can't find anything to do. I'm glad I've got you here with me, or I'd go insane certainly. Tossing pennies in a well, you won't listen to us now. Watch the sun go down, see the moon come take its place. Light the candles on the shelf, shadows dance across your face. We're alone, we're in this room. I sit and look right back at you. It's a long way from my home. I can't find anything to do. I'm glad I've got you here with me, or I'd go insane certainly. Sit and watch the sun go down, you won't listen to us now.
Now, if you've listened to the podcast before, you may or may not realize that I have an interesting view on the universe, religion, spirituality, human existence, the beginning of things. I try to keep an open mind. I think that if we ever do find the answers to things, we're going to find out that we're all completely wrong. So I try to keep an open mind because you can learn from anybody at any time. So this week I'm speaking to a gentleman. And we get on the topic of creationism, evolution, life. I don't really remember how it got started. But all I know is all of a sudden we're talking about these things. He makes a point, and I've heard this argument before, and I've never understood it, where he was for creationism. You know, he said he believes in God as in a creator, but maybe not God as in the religious icon, which I can understand. I can absolutely subscribe to that idea. I believe there's, I'm not so sure as a creator, but there's maybe an intelligence behind everything. I prefer to consider that just the universe itself. But if you want to give it a name, then, you know, that's great. It's, everybody's got to have their own beliefs. But he says that, no, you know, we had to be created because we breathe a specific air, is how he said. We breathe a specific air. And I've heard this argument before that it's amazing. Someone told me once, isn't it incredible that God regulates the air, keeps it perfect just for us? And this argument boggles my mind. I cannot in any way believe how this makes sense to anybody. And now, I'm not trying to offend anybody by this, but I just want to get my point out there, my point of view out there, and maybe someone can email me and at podcast at primitiveintelligence.com, podcast at primitiveintelligence.com. There'll be a link right in the show notes. Feel free to use it. But the idea that the air was created for us is absurd to me. We know, we can tell by how things are. We can, you know, go through the fossil record and see that if you go by any kind of logical evolutionary, and there's different theories about how things evolved and all that, but if you go by any logical evolutionary theory, that plants came first because they're a simpler structure, simpler life form, and they came first, and plants thrived at first because the early Earth had a lot of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So plants evolved to breathe in the carbon dioxide, and they breathe out oxygen. And then other animals started to evolve, and there was now an abundance after millions of years of plants breathing all this carbon dioxide and breathing out oxygen. Other animals evolved, came out, and they said, wow, look at all this oxygen. We can use that because there's a lot of it. And not only is there a lot of it, but it's replenished by all these plants around. So by the time we came around, this cycle had been clearly established. And it turns out the air wasn't made for us. The air wasn't made for us. We were basically, we just adapted to what was here. And I tried to make that point, and no, it just did not make sense, did not compute. And he said, so you think that we're related to, you think we evolved? And I said, yeah, I think we evolved. I think we are related to monkeys and apes. And, I mean, we're primates, just like monkeys and apes. So that makes us related just by, you know, guilty by association. Because we are the only species, meaning primates, that have opposable thumbs. And he said, well, what about lizards? Well, lizards don't have thumbs. Well, what about insects? Well, insects don't have thumbs. And I was kind of baffled that he was throwing these things out there, because I mean, does anybody really think that an insect, a fly, has a thumb? I mean, some lizards, you've got, what are those, not iguanas, but the, are they iguanas? No, they are, maybe they're iguanas. They've got four fingers, two on one side, but it's not really a thumb. Their hand is hinged. It's not the thumb, though. It's not the same. It's not four digits with an opposable thumb. But if you ever spend any time watching a monkey or an ape, now, I've had the luck and the opportunity to observe wild monkeys, macaques, in the wild. Real wild monkeys in Florida. And I just sat there and watched them in amazement and realized, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are absolutely related. Because you can see, they do the same thing. They're running around when they get bored. Like, they'll put their hand up on their head, and they'll, oh, boy. They'll watch the kids run around smacking her head. I mean, the mannerisms are all there. And I know we try to do that as a species. We try to humanize things by saying, you know, you look at your car and you go, well, the way the headlights are, it looks like it's smiling. It's a happy car. We tend to do that, but this is more than just coincidence. And if you look at the fact that humans and chimpanzees have like 96 or 98% a DNA match, that right there should be enough to say, yep, or related. So there's got to be something to this. I'm not saying we evolved from monkeys or from apes, but whatever our common ancestor is, you know, at some point there was, you know, obviously there's been offshoots. There we go. You know, we came from there. And he said, well, so you're trying to tell me that if there's a fish and there's a shark, they're related. And I said, yes, because sharks are fish. And he said, yeah, but sharks and whales aren't related. I said, well, no, because a whale is a mammal. So in a certain way, we're related to whales as well. And in some aspect, I guess we're related to everything if you do subscribe to evolution, because at some point there was only one species, one micro single-celled organism. Say that five times fast. That's probably not that hard. But a single-celled organism that we all came from. And he's, nope, not buying it. So I said, well, you do realize that even the Vatican believes that the Big Bang Theory is probably right. And then he's, no, that's... At first, he asked who the Vatican was. And that kind of made me not want to argue the point anymore, because how do you not know who the Vatican is? But he's, you know, asked who the Vatican is. I told him, well, the Vatican is, you know, where the Pope lives, is the head of the Catholic Church. And he said, well, no, I don't believe that. I think you're wrong. And I just, before I even started talking about this, I just pulled it up just to make sure that I really had my information straight. But the Vatican has their own science department. They've been looking for God spiritually and scientifically, trying to find where God is. Because I've always thought, you know, religion has stemmed from, you know, early man, where there were gods who controlled everything. A god who controlled the wind, a god who controlled the sun, a god who controlled the night, a god who controlled, you know, the trees. And they lived in the woods, they lived behind rocks, they lived under things. And as we went out into, you know, our species expanded and we went out into the forest, we realized they weren't there. And we pushed the gods out into the mountains. And then we went up on the mountains, we realized they're not there. We pushed them out into the heavens. And now we've been out in the heavens and they're not there. Now where do we push them to? And as it turns out, the Vatican has pushed God right out of the universe and said that, well, God's not in the universe, but the Big Bang Theory is most likely the correct theory. But if that is correct, then there had to be someone who started the Big Bang, and that would be God. So now we've pushed God out into the nether regions of outside the universe. And, of course, he's not buying that. And I said, well, now if you really... really blow your mind, we may not be the only universe. There may be multiple universes. And well, no, that can't be. You know, we can't, there can't be anything outside the universe. It can't be an outside of the universe. The universe is infinite, he says. Well, the universe may not be infinite. It may just be, you know, we originally thought that everything we could see revolved around us. And then we realized that we were in a solar system. And then that was the galaxy. That was the universe. And then we realized we were in a galaxy, and that was the universe. Then we realized there's stuff outside our galaxy. There's millions and billions of galaxies. Now that's the universe. How do we know there's not something outside that? There may not be, but there may be. The great thing about having, being able to accept that there's other things out there that may or may not be true, but are interesting, is that you'll listen to them. But everything I tried to talk about, he shut down. Now, I guess there's really no point to the story other than to keep an open mind, because, like I said, I think at some point, and it may not be in my lifetime or 100 years or 200 years, but at some point, we may, as a species, learn the truth about everything. And I think when we do find out, we're going to be really surprised if we look back at what we think we know today, that we're pretty much all wrong. So keep an open mind.
I see her coming. Every day of my life, she won't let me be known. She won't be my wife. She haunts me endlessly. Every day, every day, she won't leave me alone. She haunts me endlessly. Every day, every night, she must be too good for me, yeah, 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 yeah. my life into a hole, sinking deeper to the sludge. Taste the last remnants of my soul, yeah. She haunts me endlessly, every day, every day. She won't leave me alone. She haunts me endlessly, every day, every night. She must be too good for me, yeah, 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 endlessly, every day, every day. She won't leave me alone. She haunts me endlessly, every day, every night. She must be too good for me, yeah, 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 yeah.
So I was watching a little TV earlier, and I don't generally like to watch TV during the day. I'd rather be outside doing something. It's so hot out that there's really no point in being outside roasting. So while I was eating lunch, I was flipping around channels, and I see this show about the about Guinness Book. What is it called? Guinness World Records Gone Wild. And I'm watching it, and he's like, Guinness World Records. I remember this when I was a kid. We used to have the book club where you ordered books, and you know, you'd be all excited because you're waiting for your book to show up. You had that little paper you had to order from, and I can't imagine how they do it now, if they even do anything like that. Just download them. Must suck to be a kid now. But anyway, we get the Guinness Book of World Records, and that was like the big one, because there's always all kinds of crazy stuff in there. And it just seems like now what people are passing off as records is just stupid. And one guy's, you know, can he fit 4 whole hamburgers in his mouth and remove them in, like, under 25 seconds or something? Is that really a record? Are we really to that point where that is what we consider a record? Like, a record is, like, the man, world's tallest man, or, you know, world's, you know, shortest woman, or, you know, stuff like that. That was the records I remember. And then the guy who, the couple, it was, like, a girl and her boyfriend's best friend, where, I don't even know how you start this. I don't even know who did this the first time, where they could say that this was something that was a record. He'd stick a marshmallow up his nose, and then, like a snot rocket, launch it out of his nose across the stage, and she'd catch it in her mouth. She would catch a marshmallow that was shot out of a dude's nose in her mouth. They broke the record. 17 feet, 3 inches or something. What the hell would possess you to want to put a marshmallow in your mouth that came out of somebody's nose? I just don't understand how that's a world record. So, I don't know. If someone could shed some light on that, how that... I know there's, like, the shock and awe factor. And the show itself is just horrible. They got these two hosts on there that are... I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, if they're being bad ironically, or they're just really that bad. I don't really get the show. It was something to watch, because there's really nothing on during the day. But how is shooting a marshmallow out of your nose and somebody catching it in their mouth, how does that make it into the Guinness Book of World Records? It's like Webster's Dictionary, whoever it is, and when every year they're like, we're going to add new words. This year we're adding bling or OMG. No, don't add stuff like that. They're not words. You shouldn't add stuff like that. Stupid. Thanks for listening this week, guys. I really appreciate you guys sticking it out and help me get through this on my own. Like I said, I hope to have Rocco and Stacy back soon. Thanks for listening. As always, be safe. Don't text and drive. If it's hot, drink some water. Be safe. Be good. Enjoy yourselves. Join us for the next episode. See you then. Take care.